Hey guys, welcome to another episode of C3 SYD Podcast. I'm your host Jackson, and today I'm joined by the wonderful Ryan Smith, who we're going to unpack a pretty big topic here today in our Table Talk series on mental health. So let's jump in. So, Rye, here we are. Big topic, big day. But very short conversation, so we'll try and get through it. For those that don't know, this is Ryan Smith. He's been speaking into the campaign, particularly around the topic of mental health. Rye, for those that don't know you, how about you tell us a bit about what's a day in the life of Ryan Smith look like?
Day in the life of Ryan Smith always starts early, so I can't sleep. So I'm usually up around 5 or 6.
Wow.
Straight to the coffee plunger.
Wow.
And I like to read a little bit, journal.
Nice. Sometimes
play guitar and hopefully not wake the family up. But early starts.
Yes.
Try to get to bed pretty early too.
So does that your day kind of finish by like 5 p.m. or what's a late finish for you?
It depends if I've got to do things in the night, different sort of teaching or educating, stuff like that. But on a perfect day, it's definitely 5 o'clock.
Yes.
The days of me working till 9 and 10 are over.
Breakfast over dinner.
Yes.
You spoke in this series on mental health, and it's a huge topic that's happening. In the last 10 years, it's actually grown, and it's been wonderful because, you know, people are recognizing they're not just physical health, but also our mental health is really important. In speaking in this topic, we've been really unpacking what is the biblical view. What is the Bible saying behind all of these things? One of the big things right now is like, well, look out for number one. And I think there's a lot to be said for looking after yourself. Self-care is right up there. And I don't think we should throw the baby out with the bathwater here. I think it's important. But what does the Bible view say on that actual kind of idea?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's never either or. The Bible, it's pretty clear. It's undeniable, in fact, that the Bible actually, there's many scriptures that point to the fact that God does want us all in a healthy state.
Sure.
And, you know, when you look at scriptures around people praying, they never came away more confused or more anxious or more scattered.
Yeah.
It came away clearer every time. Any encounter with God, particularly throughout the Gospels, people came away as their best self after having encountered God.
Yeah.
So the Bible's pretty clear that God wants us well, and that's its emphasis, you know. But when you mentioned before about the self-care piece, it's not selfish as a person who considers themselves to be a Christian to integrate self-care into their life. But it comes back to the motivation.
Yeah, sure.
So sure, in the world it might be me, myself and I, and that might be where the motivation starts and stops. But for people who are in the church, what we're taught is that the reason we want to be in a healthy state emotionally and psychologically is for the sake of other people.
Wow.
So that we're not unbearable to be around.
Yeah.
And that when people have spent time with us, they come away a better self because they're experiencing someone who is healthy.
Yeah. I think it's really important for us to be, you know, our best selves, not for ourselves, but for others. I remember having a conversation with a friend, just encouraging them to be, you know, better for not for just for themselves, but for others. We're in a bit of a mental health crisis right around the world. Beyond Blue said a stat of 1 in 2 people are likely to have a mental health issue at some point in their life. What in terms of has been your experience if you've had, you know, mental health rise, not in your health, but maybe fall, and how have you kind of navigated that personally?
It's a good question. I did everything in my power unconsciously to avoid crashing psychologically and emotionally in my late 30s. Doesn't matter whether you're in the church or out of the church. If you don't deal with issues in your teens and 20s, they'll continue to surface in your 30s, 40s and 50s and for the rest of your life until you do.
Wow.
And I had unconsciously tried to avoid having to deal with things that had remained untouched or unacknowledged. The pain of not dealing with them was too great to ignore.
Yeah.
And So for me personally, I had to go on that journey of coming face to face with those things. And instead of it being a case of me feeling like a failure, all it did was remind me that I'm just human.
Yeah, wow.
And whether you're in church or out of church, doesn't matter. I think there's a broad range of emotions that people would feel when they realize that they have to deal with mental health. And one of the strongest emotions are feelings of guilt. We can quit guilt as an emotion, acknowledge that we feel it, but not allow it to drive the process of getting healthy.
Yes.
But actually just recognizing that it's not the end. Like if you, you know, for me personally, what I took away was a reminder that I didn't need to put it off for so long. I didn't need to avoid confronting it for so long, that it was actually good for me to confront it because it led me to becoming stronger, healthier, more aware of myself, more aware of my capacity, my limits, you know, and not sort of having to try to achieve everything. And the thing was actually knowing I don't need to feel guilty about this because I can still function.
Yeah.
It's not suddenly I stop functioning. I can still be productive. I can still get things done, but I can get to the bottom of why this is an issue for me.
Yeah.
And what I can do about it.
Yeah. Well, I think what the big step for a lot of us is to just recognize, you don't like physical health. You don't realize you're unable to do something until you do it. One of the big things for me on my journey through mental health was actually just having conversation with some of my mates, and a friend of mine had seen a psychologist and started to talk to me about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, that actually sounds like I need that. I started to go and see a psychologist, and it was actually a great step towards becoming a better self, but not just for me, but for my family. I don't know where I'd be without having some sessions with a psychologist. And I think it's interesting because in the church, it's sometimes a bit, that's a dark art, or that's a different thing. But for people in the world, psychology is becoming a lot more real and forefront. For people that are in the church, it's often a perspective of like, oh, well, you know, I'll just pray and that will. What would you say is the biblical balance here?
Well, the biblical balance, I think we as the church are in a time of enlightenment where we're becoming more aware of the fact that prayer and the word, or reading the Bible, I should say, and praying are essential, but they're insufficient when it comes to mental health, that we actually do need to integrate into our journey of life, in or out of the church, therapy, counseling, and to actually not have misplaced expectations around that. By going and seeing someone that you trust, a trusted companion, a therapist, a counselor, actually the purpose of it is to become self-aware, because self-knowledge in or out of the church, or lack thereof, is a real problem. When you know who you are, strengths and weaknesses, you in love can protect other people from yourself. But if you don't know that stuff, you don't know how other people experience you, and you're not aware of the effects, either positive or negative, you're having on others. So by seeing a therapist and being able to integrate that into spirituality, integrate that into a church experience as somebody who follows God or values spirituality in their relationship with God, it's only going to make your journey better because you're able to not think that it all just is reliant upon the how much of the Bible you read, or how much you give to the church, time and energy. And actually learn about where you've come from. Your family of origin. You can learn about the things that have been projected onto you, or unrealistic expectations that your family of origin or where you've grown up has actually caused you to feel obligated to achieve, to do, by seeing a therapist, you suddenly get perspective and realize that maybe the message you were sent and the society in which you got your cues from was not all it was cracked up to be.
Wow. It's almost like you can't do one or the other. It's that both are really important. For me, I think faith is what can help you through situations, but also having good psychological practices like, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, things that they go hand in hand, because I think they're both, they kind of work on different parts of us. One's working in our spirit, one's working in our mental state, but those are so interwoven and connected because they're the things that happen on the inside, right?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if you think about the integrated life, or if you were to use that term, it's basically an acknowledgement that we're not just a spirit and a soul.
Yeah.
But we also are a brain, a heart, and a body.
Yeah.
And if you want to be well, you've got to know, well, what does the brain need? What does the spirit need? What does it see? You can have a broken arm and go to the emergency ward and have it taped up, and then it goes through the healing process, but it's not necessarily going to heal your broken heart. It's healing your broken arm. So we've thrown a lot of money in society towards issues around mental health, and the problem hasn't gotten any better. It's gotten worse.
Yeah.
And so the need to heal properly and to grow properly.
Yeah.
And to normalize the idea of therapy and trusted companions and getting transparent.
Yeah.
Being willing to not cover up weakness and to willingly talk about it without feeling like a failure or feeling like you're defeated or you're irrelevant.
And also to just not do it alone. I feel like if you're, you can navigate psychology, you can navigate seeing a psychologist, but I think what was beneficial for me is being able to do it with Jesus. And like, what did that look like? Well, I had someone to go to when I was being anxious, not just a cognitive behavioral routine that I could use. I could be anxious for nothing. I could say, hey God, I'm feeling this. And knowing that he's with me in that, still work in the patterns that I was working with the psychologist on. Hand in hand, I think that, and I feel like, for people that don't have a faith, it must be hard, because I feel like that's one of the things that kind of helps. It's almost like two runs of the train track, the two rails. But yes, you can arrive at the train station, but probably not in the same piece or in that one piece of having healthy mental health and navigated it with someone like Jesus. What would you say to someone out there that doesn't really know, that maybe they've been struggling with mental health, they don't maybe not know Jesus? What would you recommend someone do?
Well, it's a great question. There's many reasons. There's not never just one reason why people have issues around mental health. Sometimes it's biochemical. Sometimes it's issues that remain unresolved from the past.
Yep.
Other times it's lack of sleep, or maybe it's diet, trauma, whatever the case may be. But I would say for the most part, it's because of the society and the system that we're all born into, particularly in the West. You tend to find that mental health is not as much of an issue in other parts of the world as it is in the West. That's because typically in the West, we're all born into a system that rewards you if you play by its rules and champion its structure, but punishes you if you challenge its philosophies.
Wow.
And I would say to anybody who's not in the church that there is a better way than having to feel like you've got to get your cues from that system, that we don't have to live tense, frantic, hurried, flooded, scattered, not present, feeling like we've got too much to do in too little time. We don't have to live like that.
Yeah.
The reason that many of us do live like that, not just out of the church, but also in the churches, because very often we feel like we're living our life off a script that was handed to us. There is an alternative way. And that way is a slowed down way of living, which the church tries to teach.
Yeah.
That you're not expected to do everything and you can redefine success.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to look like what you've been told it is.
Mm.
They're the first steps. When you mentioned before about sharing with someone, the great thing about that transparency piece, or the fact that you have companions that you do talk about, very often we get healthy and our problems are solved just simply through sharing.
Yeah, well.
It's not sharing to find a solution. The solution is in the sharing.
It's in community, right? Like being able to, and I think, you know, a lot of these mental health problems come from isolation and loneliness and not being in community with one another. I think that was one of the things that I valued a lot in COVID, was still being able to maintain some sort of community, whether it was online or, you know, even just chatting. And that's where the conversations actually came up. We were just checking in on each other. And yeah, I think it's really important to have some community and conversations.
Yeah, because you don't realize, and that's a great point, because you don't realize how much you've benefited from community until it's removed altogether.
Yes, till you don't have it. Yeah. Wow. Like, community is such an important thing for us to be in, especially while we're navigating things like mental health. Guys, that is all that we've got time for in today's episode. I hope you've loved it as much as we have. We're actually wrapping this series, Table Talk, and we'll be moving into our Christmas series coming up real soon. So we want to actually extend a massive invite to you. Head to c3syd.church to find a location near you. We've got a wonderful series lined up, but also Christmas celebrations. So we want to have you there. So head to our website and find a location near you, and we can't wait to see you in person.